The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
This morning I want to talk about defeating stress and anxiety, because it's extremely important that we recognize that these things are a part of life. They can be good, but they can also be very devastating in people's lives. According to the American Psychological Association, 77% of people say that they regularly experience physical symptoms caused by stress. 73% say regularly experience psychological symptoms caused by stress. And 33% say they are living with extreme stress. And 48% say that that stress has a negative impact on their life. I think there's a little doubt in any of our minds that stress is touching our lives. Anxiety is also one of those situations we have to deal with, and that's a feeling of fear, uneasy, and weary. According to the Anxiety and Depression Association of America, anxiety disorders are most common mental illness in the United States today. They're affecting 40 million people. Now, as far as in a disorder, there are various reasons for those taking place. It has various factors involved with it. Genetics, brain chemistry, personality, life events, all these things play into it. But I'm also very convinced that no matter what the cause, what the set of circumstances that cause these things in your life, God is well able to deal with it for you, if you will allow Him to. And He has given us steps in His Word to be able to deal with these things. Now, I realize that in some people's lives, it's overwhelming. You need help. That's okay. You can get help to deal with it. But God's got an order of things as well. And if we will follow His way of dealing with His prescription, if you will, for dealing with the issues of our life, we will be able to walk with the peace that passes all understanding that He has promised us. There is no doubt in my mind about that. One of the things about stress and anxiety is that they're signals for us. I mean, they can be a good thing. They let us know when there's danger, when we should flee, when we should try to get out of a situation. These feelings of stress and anxiety they're healthy in that respect. They're necessary for all of us. But the problem is the enemy uses these things to utterly destroy people. They destroy individuals, he destroys families, and he destroys churches. And he's in the process of destroying society through these stress and anxiety. Here's the thing, we have to confront it. If we do not confront stress and anxiety, it truly will paralyze us. It'll take complete dominance in our life. Yes, sir. Now, if you don't have anything this morning, most of you raised your hand and said that you feel some stress and anxiety. If you don't have anything to feel stress and anxiety about, let me share a few things with you this morning that might help you. I don't know if everyone in here is watching what's going on in Ukraine, but there's definitely an uprising. It's forced the newly elected pro-Russian president out of office. He was replaced by a former IMF banker and pro-Western leader. That's a prospect that Russia is trying to avoid, to be surrounded by the West. And they've made it clear that they're going to protect their interests. Russian President Vladimir Putin was dismissive of the U.S. threats and said Russia was engaged in a humanitarian mission to protect what they say is their people in the Crimea. President Barack Obama said there was a strong belief that Russia's actions is violating international law. And here's the thing, China seems to be on the side of Russia. They're supporting them. Here's a statement that was made by the former U.S. Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton. She said that Vladimir Putin's actions in Ukraine is like those of Hitler in the 1930s. Those are inflammatory statements. These are the kind of things, excuse me, that lead to war. And some believe that if this is not taken care of, we're looking at the possibility of World War III. That's something that you could get a little anxious about, huh? And be stressed about. In 2011, an 8.9 magnitude earthquake hit off the coast of Japan. Everybody remember that one? One of the biggest ever recorded in the world. It triggered a 30-foot tsunami that killed 18,000 people, and it devastated Japan. But more than that, it hit the Fukushima nuclear power plant. The tsunami caused the cooling system of the plant to fail, resulted in a level 7 nuclear meltdown and release of radioactive materials. How many people in here realized how serious that was from our media? Very few, really. But, you know, because they didn't really report that stuff to us, did they? How serious this thing was going on. At first, they reported a little bit, but here's what's happening, and it's still happening. 30 tons of radioactive water continues to leak from the plant every day. Gee whiz, excuse me. No thanks, I'll just use this water. 30 tons of radioactive water continues to leak from the plant every day into the Pacific Ocean. It's affecting fish and marine life all over the world. Do you realize that there's been masses of fish, porpoise, and all kinds of marine animals washed up on shores all over the world, dead? You know what they say? We can't figure out what's going on. That's because they don't want us to know what's going on. They're not telling us the truth about some of these things. What's happening? According to scientists, a radioactive plume is going to reach the west coast of the United States in April of this month. Now, it's according to what they're reporting, it's not supposed to be a huge deal. It's not highly radioactive. But the fact that it's even coming should concern us. And the reason it should concern us is because, according to Dr. Bill Daigle, the Fukushima disaster is still a worldwide disaster because it's not under control yet. These reactors have not been brought under control. And he says if something immediately is not done, there's going to be a nuclear blast that's going to affect the whole world. And that if a plume is coming from the first situation to the West Coast now, guess what will happen? It'll eventually come here. It's going to affect the whole world. All right. You see, there are things in this world that are happening that could cause a lot of stress and anxiety. You know, tornado destruction is on the rise. Late in the afternoon of Sunday, May the 22nd, 2011, an EF5 multi-vortex tornado struck Joplin, Missouri. Overall, the tornado killed 158 people. It injured 1,150 people and caused damages amounting to a total of $2.8 billion. It was one of the deadliest ever to strike the United States. According to researchers, though, the last 30 years of raw data clearly shows an increase in the number of tornadoes across the United States. They're deadly, they're destructive, and they're rising in their ability to destroy things. How about sickness and flu? According to the research from MIT, H1N1, and we've all heard of people dying from that, right, recently. H1N1, swine flu, is a very real threat, along with H5N1, bird flu. Researchers from MIT reported in their journal Cell that the H5N1 and H7N9 bird flu virus strains need just one or just a few genetic mutations to become easily human transmittable, which is going to raise the likelihood of there being a pandemic. Have I made you depressed yet this morning? Yes. Well, listen, I'm doing it on purpose. I want you to understand there are things going on in this world. And we need to recognize our only hope is to put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not trying to spread fear. I'm trying to tell you the reality of this world that we live in. This place is shaking all over. Physically, it's shaking. Spiritually, it's shaking. Economically, it's shaking. In March 2007, the United States subprime mortgage industry collapsed due to higher than expected home foreclosures. More than 25 subprime lenders declared bankruptcy. This plunged our economy into a severe recession, which some believe that we have never recovered from. According to an influential Wall Street advisor, David John Murata, in a memo sent to his clients, this was just a memo he sent out to his clients, he calculated the actual unemployment rate of those not working at a sky-high 37.2%. That's incredible. Now, he's calculating a lot of things, I must understand. But we know it's not the 6.7% advertised by the Fed. And the misery index at 14, it's at 14 and not at the 8 claimed by our government. Now, I want to tell you something. Those of you who would just like to blame the Obama administration, this has been going on for a long, long time. These kind of reportings, they have not been honest to us about the economic situation, about unemployment, about all these things for a long time. They have been using faulty figures, what's it called, creative accounting, to report these things to us. Why? Because they want to deceive us. The enemy is like that. He wants to deceive people. He wants to shake you. He wants you to think one thing so that he can come in the back door and do something else. That's the enemy we serve. Now, I want to tell you something. There were people that told the Federal Reserve, and I want you all need to understand, I am not a fan of the Federal Reserve. I think they're a satanic organization set up to destroy good people. Well, I won't get on my high horse on that one. But what I do believe is that they have been warned. And whenever these kind of things happen, what do? They come out and say, nobody saw it coming. They're lying. They did see it coming. There were plenty of people that told them it was coming. People like Robert Widmer, Harry Dent, Robert Pritchett, Gerald Celente, Peter Schiff, Jim Rogers, they all warned them of what was going to happen. And they're saying again today that this thing is not over. Look out. It could get worse. It doesn't have to, but it could. Jim Rogers has even moved his family from the United States because he says it's going to be most devastating here. if things don't change. Move to China. These are things that are truly happening. Now that I have effectively caused you to have some stress and anxiety, this morning, I want to share with you the good news. Yes. That regardless of the reports, regardless of what is happening in the world, I want you to understand something. I have hope and expectation of what God is going to do for us, for His people, not because I've got my head in the sand, trying to pretend like nothing is happening, but because I know the living God. I know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it makes no difference what the world is doing or what they have planned, what the enemy is trying to do. God is on our side. God is with us. And we can effectively take steps to make sure that we do not allow stress and anxiety to overtake us. I want to tell you, praise God, thank you, Otis. I'm glad that you agree with me. Amen. I want to tell you, I am absolutely practicing what I'm preaching this morning, because yesterday afternoon we discovered that we had a leak in our water line in our kitchen, and half our kitchen floor was just soaked with water. It was underneath the linoleum, and it was just completely soaked and destroyed. And there wasn't anything we could do but to tear it up. And so yesterday afternoon, me and my son Micah started tearing this thing up. And I'll tell you, that stuff like that causes stress and anxiety. Right? Amen? Particularly when, you know, you've got a message to preach the next morning. You've got things are happening, all kinds of stuff. My wife, Tammy, is not feeling well. She's got a severe cold, so she's home in bed. Believe me, I don't function very well without her. I'm at a loss. Amen. Yeah, that's right. Amen. Of course they agree with me. I'm no fool. I need her. But, you know, that kind of stuff, that stuff was happening. Mike and I worked till, 2 o'clock this morning? Trying to get that done. Got a couple hours to about 4 hours sleep. And here we are this morning, ready to go. Amen. I have to apply these principles that I'm teaching, that I'm going to be teaching you this morning, in my life every day. You know, sometimes some people get the idea, well, you're just a pastor, so you probably don't have to deal with some of these things. But let me tell you something. Because I'm a pastor, I have to deal with a lot of stress and anxiety. Sometimes it's my own, and sometimes it's other people's, you know? And that's difficult, too, because I love you guys. I love this congregation. I love the people here. And when you guys go through things, I go through things. It's difficult. And I know that's the same for when I go through things. You feel it, too. We feel each other. That's the body of Christ. That's how we're supposed to be functioning together. Rejoice with one another when we can rejoice, and weep with one another when we have to. All right, well, what we're going to look at this morning, I can't tell you exactly how far we're going to get with this, but we're just going to go for it. We're going to look at the origin of stress and anxiety. Stress and anxiety are bait. I want you to understand that. Stress and anxiety can be defeated. Those are the three things that we're going to look at this morning. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Beginning with verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature?" Jesus is saying, listen, do not allow the worry, the cares of this world, what you need, your food, clothing, shelter. Do not allow that to worry you, because I'm going to take care of you. The Greek word here suggests a distraction. The word worry, preoccupation with things causing, our word, anxiety, stress, pressure. How many have ever been in that situation where you just, you know, you've just felt, you know, you mentally, you know there's the stress is there, but you've also felt it physically. It's a heavy weight. You feel it in your chest. You know, you feel it all over. It's a weight that you have to carry. You're carrying around. Well, I can tell you this. The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't want you to have to carry it. My King James Version Bible records the same teaching in Luke. And Jesus says, "And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind." And the mind here, the Greek word means the exercise of thought. So what Jesus is saying is, do not allow yourself to have anxious thoughts. That implies that we have some control over it, doesn't it? Now, I know we don't like to hear that. You see, in the body of Christ, particularly in charismatic, full gospel, you know, Pentecostal type churches, we like to think that all we have to do is say God or speak to God and he'll miraculously take it out of our life. Or when the pastor or the evangelist says God has an answer for you, you go up front and it's going to be gone. Right? Hey, come on. Let's be real with each other. And yet God says you have some responsibility. Yes, I believe in deliverance. Absolutely. God touches and miraculously removes things from people. But I've had people that come up and be miraculously healed from something or delivered from an addiction. And instead of doing what God told them to do, they went right back out to the door and went right back to it by their own free will. It wasn't because the addiction had a hold of them. It was because they desired to. It happens. So we have to exercise our power and authority in Christ. We have to know what the Word of God says and apply it to our life every day. So if we're going to overcome stress and anxiety, there's some keys to it. There's some things that we have to do. We have to recognize that it starts right here in the mind. We don't think of the brain as a muscle that needs exercise, but in fact, that's what they're finding out, that it needs to be exercised. Yes, sir. And if you don't exercise your brain, guess what happens? Atrophy sets in. Have you ever seen somebody who wasn't able to move their arm or their leg for a while? For whatever reason, paralysis, you see what happens to it? The muscle just completely deteriorates, goes away. There's hardly anything left. Skin and bone. And that's what happens to our minds if we don't keep exercising those things. We have to exercise it. Our mind is a wonderful tool that God has given us. An article published in Psychology Today by neuroscientist Danielle Coffer, UC Berkeley, has discovered how chronic stress can damage the brain, affect emotions, and impact your physical health. That we've known that for a long time. We don't need science to tell us that. We've known it. We realize it because the Word of God tells us these things. Stress, according to Jesus, stress and anxiety comes from, what did he say, distraction or preoccupation with something in the mind. Sometimes we create situations that breed stress and anxiety by chasing after material things. Listen, we live in a material world. We live in a world where people get their identity from the things we own. And we can't deny that. People are considered successful when they have a big house, a big car, and appear to have a big bank account. Now, they may not have a big bank account, but if they appear like they have, they are considered successful. And many times, people are going out so far on the limb in debt to appear successful that we're creating all kinds of stress and anxiety in our lives. Look, I told you about my house. I live in a mobile home. It's not a big, nice, fancy home. I'm praying, I'm asking God to provide that for us. My wife deserves one. Praise God, and we're working toward that. But right now, that's where we are. And I'm happy that that's where we are. I'm thankful that when it was snowing and blowing, it was below zero, that I had that mobile home to sit in at night and stay warm. And I refuse to go head over heels in debt to have something that I don't absolutely need. I'm waiting for God to provide it. Amen. We've got to get to the point where we can just trust God and be satisfied with what we have and where we are. Amen. Because this society that we live in, they want you to go head over heels in debt for things that you don't really need to impress people that you don't even like. Amen? Hallelujah. And those people, they're not as impressed as you think they are anyhow. Because they know they're running around doing the same thing. Stressed, anxious, because they can't afford what they have. We have toys, all kinds of houses and cars and toys and stuff that most people have to pay every month, have to pay a payment for, which is craziness when you think about how much we throw away in interest payments. Over and over and over. Wow, there's some of that stuff. People are stressing over bills, I can tell you that. That's one of the number one problems that people stress over are finances. And here's the problem. We're living on the edge so much with our finances, that if any unforeseen expense arises, it just destroys us completely. And talk about stress and anxiety. There it is. We create some of this stuff for ourselves. This is the kind of stress that Jesus was talking about. Worry over food, clothing, shelter. Then you throw in the stress of anxiety over family, work, the world. Buddy, we have a stressful world that we live in. And you have a recipe for destruction with those things. Now, this is all a tactic of a very real enemy that we have. This stuff is not just happening. We have to understand. We have a shrewd enemy that is scheming and planning and preparing to destroy your life. He focuses on individuals. And by focusing on the individuals, then he destroys families. And when he destroys families, he destroys churches. He destroys churches, communities, nations. His desire is to destroy the whole world. He hates humans. You cannot pacify the enemy. If you think you can just lay low and he'll leave you alone, you're fooling yourself. You better get up and fight because he wants to destroy you. We're created in the image of the living God. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Beginning with verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is reviled, it is reviled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age, here's what I want you to see, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. What I want you to see here is that the enemy does have the ability to blind people's minds. He's a deceiver and a liar, and he's been doing this forever from the very beginning. He deceived Adam and Eve in the garden, and he's continuing to deceive and lie to people. He's using the same tactics on God's people today. Right now, in this place, he's lying to some of you. He's telling you lies.
Yes, sir.
Now, the question is, are you going to allow him to? Are you going to recognize him? Jesus said in John 8:44 that Satan is the father of lies. He created it. Isn't that incredible? And he invented lying and he uses it to destroy God's people. At any time when we become stressed and anxious, we're being attacked. I want you to understand. That's where I want to go with this. You are being attacked by the enemy. It's an attempt to defeat you. According to Maranatha Ministries Lifeline, pastors on average, 1,500 pastors walk out of the pulpit each and every month because of stress and anxiety. 50% are so discouraged that they would, 50% that stay are so discouraged that they would leave the ministry if they had something else to do. That one I don't quite understand, because if I was that distressed, I'd find something to do. Something.
That's
50% of pastors' marriages are going to end in divorce because of the stress and the anxiety that they are feeling. Now, if this is true for pastors, I just wanted to share this with you because I believe it drives home the point. If it's true for pastors, it's true for the overall body of Christ. We're all suffering from this stuff. And we've got to get a handle on it. What I want to point out to you, this first point that I'm making, where does stress and anxiety come from? It's a satanic attack to defeat you. It's an attack. Recognize it as an attack. Let's go back. Matthew 6, 20, verse 28. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? What I want you to see is that stress and anxiety are bait. They're designed by the enemy to lead you into the real trap. And that trap is fear. Because if he can lead you to fear, you see, stress and anxiety are close, but they're not quite fear. If you allow it to overtake you, then you become fearful. And fear will devastate you. Fear will cause you to have paralysis. It will keep you from being able to do the things that God has called you to. Fear is the enemy's ultimate goal here. And anytime you have fear, you're not walking in faith. Now, I'm not saying that you're not going to feel fear. Now, let's make sure that we get this straight. Feeling fear is not the same as succumbing to fear. When you feel fear and you act in spite of that fear, then you overcome the fear. But if you allow that fear to overtake you and hold you back and keep you from doing what God wants you to do, then that's when fear has control over you. That's when it becomes, that's when the stress and anxiety becomes a full-blown fear that devastates you and holds you back. All right. So it's very important that we identify that the enemy's tactics are to defeat you and cause you to fear. Let's turn over to okay, let me see where I am here. Let's go to Matthew chapter 8, just a couple chapters over. Verse 23 through 26. You see, what I want you to see is that fear is a symptom, and when we allow fear into our life to overtake us, it shows that we have little faith. Now, it's not lack of, you know, complete and total lack of faith, but Jesus called it little faith. He called it little faith in chapter 6, and right here he's going to call it little faith again. Now when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we are perishing." But he said to them, "Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. This is a devastating tactic of the enemy to keep us from walking by faith. It diminishes our faith. It doesn't take our faith completely away, because we still have faith in God. But when that fear overtakes you, it presses down on your faith. It makes your faith smaller instead of building it up and causing it to grow. And when you allow that in your mind, that battle to rage in your mind and overtake you, then you will be walking in little faith instead of faith or great faith. Now, I want you to understand something. This is not a condemnation to anybody. It's meant to be an encouragement. I want you to identify the enemy. I want you to see his tactics. I want you to be able to defeat him. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. I know we're jumping around in the Bible a lot today, but these are good scripture for you. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Whose might are we going to be strong in? His might. Strong in his power, in his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Stop right there. Put on the whole armor of God. Why do we need the armor of God? Now, I'm not going to be teaching on the armor of God right now, but the whole armor of God is important for God's people to put it on. Why do we have to have the armor of God? Because the enemy has tactic. The wiles of the enemy. The Greek word here means schemes, cunning crafts, deceit, crafty trickery. He schemes against you. He knows you. He's been studying you since you were born. He knows everything there is to know about you. He knows you better than you know yourself. Therefore, he can set up traps, tricks and traps for you that you will fall into, because He knows how to get to you. He knows how to push your buttons. Paul refers to these schemes in 2 Timothy 2:26 as snares. John Bevere, in his book, The Bait of Satan, says the root word here means a bait stick used in a snare to lure a bird or an animal into the snare. Stress and anxiety are bait. That's what I want you to see this morning. They're bait to lure you into the ultimate trap, which is fear, and it will devastate you. If you allow fear to have a stronghold in your life, it'll cause that paralysis that I was talking about. And sometimes it can even be physical. How many have ever seen somebody or heard of stories of people that had physical paralysis and they couldn't figure out what it was other than something in their mind? 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." That's the God we serve. Get His Word. Know what His Word has to say about. Recognize the enemy. These are the things that I want you to see this morning. Stress and anxiety comes from a satanic attack. The stress and anxiety are bait designed by the enemy to catch you in the real trap, which is fear. Ultimately, fear. Stand with me. We're going to wrap things up this morning. I'll pick this up again next week. But I want you to hear how powerful this stress and anxiety, once it becomes fear in a person's life, how it can devastate them. On May the 6th, 1955, in Oxford, England, Roger Bannister ran the mile. He broke the four-minute mile. 3:59.4. It was an incredible feat. That time they thought it was impossible to happen. Of course, people have done even better since then, but he broke the four-minute mile. Years before that, he and another man was diagnosed with a disease, and they were told that they would never, ever walk again. Bannister's response was, "I will not only walk, but with God's help, I will run." And run he did. Years later, he ran and he ran and he broke that four-minute mile. And that's an incredible story, but the rest of the story is even more incredible. Because years after Bannister broke that four-minute mile, the diagnosis of the disease that he had became much easier for doctors. The medical technology had improved, and they wanted to diagnose him again and make sure that he actually had the disease. So they did. They not only checked him and found out that he had the disease, and he overcame the disease, and he was healed of the disease. But the other thing that is devastating about this story is that the gentleman that he was diagnosed with, the same day he was diagnosed, the gentleman that was diagnosed with that same disease spent years in a wheelchair, and the doctors discovered that he didn't even have the disease. That's how powerful your mind is. Stress, anxiety, and the fear of a disease. Stop them. Listen, we have the mind of Christ. We have the power of God. We have greater one that lives inside of us. We are children of the Most High God. And what we must do is speak life and speak truth. I'm going to share things with you as I finish up this message. I'm going to share the truth of the Word of God. I'm going to give you some steps according to the Word of God. I know I hate to give, 10 steps to this and 5 steps to that, but the Word of God gives us principles. That's what they really are. They're principles for us to live by. And I'm going to give you principles that are going to be able, that's going to cause you to be able to overcome the attacks of the enemy, rise above them, and walk in victory in every situation of your life over stress, anxiety, and stop fear in its tracks. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask our prayer warriors if you come up. And also, is there anyone that would like to have healing for our prayer for healing this morning? If you'd like to do that, come on up. We're going to pray with you. Prayer warriors are here. If you'd like to hear a word from God, have special prayer, please come up and let them pray with you. I'm going to go ahead and dismiss the service. Praise God. What a wonderful morning this has been. God is awesome. He's going to continue to guide and direct us and help us to do His will. Remember this morning, we're asking for God's perfect will in this place. Let's seek His perfect will. Father God, as we leave this place this morning, we desire Your perfect will. We desire that You would touch individual lives, that they would be in Your perfect will, that we as a church would be in Your perfect will. We thank You for going with us as we leave this place. Today, Father God, in Jesus' name, we're going out there to be ambassadors for Christ. We're going to glorify Your name, and we're going to lift You up on high because You are an awesome and mighty God. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Have a wonderful day. Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope this message has touched you in some way. Our purpose and desire for these podcasts is to edify believers and share the good news of salvation in Christ. If you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior today, look up Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It makes it very simple. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you'd like more information on salvation, visit our website at bethelwc.org. We have a section that explains it in more detail. If you confess Christ for the first time today, welcome to the family, and we would love to hear from you. Be blessed.